I think it's fantastic. I hope that
he's awesome.
You know, I think not only is he awesome, I'm hoping that perhaps he'll choose Bigfoot as his lieutenant governor.
Right. You know, a sleepy little town, right? Nothing much going on here.
Nothing much. Let's bring in our next two guests, Vinny Eastwood and Billy TK here. Welcome to the Awake Nation. Glad to have you guys with us.
Yes. Hey. Thank you, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, guys.
Good morning and greetings from New Zealand.
Oh, New Zealand. Oh, my. What time of the day is it over there?
Greener.
Well, it's called the Awake Nation Show, which is great because it's 3:32 a.m. here.
Oh, my God. Wow. So hopefully you guys didn't go to sleep or...
Yeah, I had a short nap.
Okay. Good to know. Because Vinny and I have just can hit and miss each other. I'm like, hey, we have this opening. He's like, hey, is it still available? I'm like, no, I booked it already. We've been doing this for a while.
I love it. This is truly an honor and a pleasure. So what is going on in Vinny's world today and Billy TK's world?
Well, you know, a little bit of sleep deprivation for a start, but the trial that we've been going through has been going for years now at this point, and we've suffered quite greatly. So for those who aren't aware, I'm kind of like the first guy to start a truth media sort of entity here in New Zealand, and had been running on American radio for a long time and had more subscribers than the New Zealand mainstream media on YouTube before getting deplatformed during the pandemic. And yeah. Of course, we called a lockdown, a level 4 lockdown, the most serious for a single strain of the Delta variant that had allegedly been detected. And we decided that because people, that was going to destroy businesses, make people commit suicide and things like that. We knew that. We decided that somebody had to get out and protest. And because Billy at the time, having been formerly the third most preferred prime minister, and of course my position as well, we were on tour together, we had to do it because there really wasn't anybody else at the time to do it. And what we thought was that they'd arrest us, maybe let us go, and then we'd be able to defend ourselves in court and things like that. But the bail conditions that they put us under for 6 weeks, not being able to leave the home, not being able to have an internet-capable device, not being able to access the internet, and having bail checks 4 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock at night, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Happened for a significant period of time, and that cost us a lot of lawyers' fees and things of that nature. Billy himself is up to $110,000 in unpaid lawyers' Ooh. Fees, and we are now nearly a half years on from the day of our arrest on August 18th, 2021, and we've appealed the decision of Judge Peter Winter, who sentenced Billy TK to 5 months prison and gave him a month off for the sentence we already served during our bail conditions, and I was given 4 months prison with a month off for serving mine. So we're facing collectively 4 months for Billy and 3 months prison for me for what amounts to standing within 2 meters of another person. And Jesus. We're trying to get as much public attention on this issue as possible, because the very Bill of Rights of New Zealand, the right to peaceful assembly, the right to freedom of speech, so on and so forth, really hinges on this. Can the government just pass something at 4 o'clock in the morning like the COVID-19 health response bill and then say suddenly, hey, everybody, you know those fundamental rights that you had? You don't have those anymore.
Mm. Are you guys still under some sort of a draconian lockdown there? I mean, 3 years in?
No, we're not. We're not at the moment. So so let's be clear. New Zealand is really just another expressed symptom of the global franchise operation that we're under. We are in fact at the very front of the queue of what I call the tyranny lollipops that are being handed out around the world. We are a globalized country here. A lot of people believe that New Zealand is this utopian kind of Middle Earth
right.
Hobbiton sort of hippie sort of, you know, beautiful utopian country. And it used to be that when I was growing up. I'm 51 years of age now, and it was like that, certainly like that in the 70s and 80s, and everyone was free and free to think, and it wasn't too much of a big deal if you disagreed with someone, just got on with it. But of course now we live in woke cancel culture, and we are at this stage under the rule of a Soviet style regime here in New Zealand. We've just got a new Prime Minister after the old one resigned, that was just under Ardern, who is a World Economic Forum Young Global Leader. She's the former president of the International Union of Socialist Youth, and she's about as ready to be the next Secretary General of the United Nations as you can find, really. So I'm waiting for that. But the restrictions have been removed because of the fact that the virus is an endemic. However, the activating piece of legislation which gives the government its power and authority to administer COVID tyranny by way of being able to enter into your home without a warrant to check on you to see if you've got COVID-19 and force a medical experiment on you, whether you want it or not, by way of a invasive nasal swab test. And they can even remove you and your family from your home, again, without warrant, and take you away somewhere to be isolated, which is very, very scary because it suspends, as Vinny said, it suspends the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act 1990. So it's not a good time here. Officially, the restrictions have been removed, yet the authority, the legislation that gives them that extra power is still present with us, and we are just getting ready to
transfer. Should another so-called fake variant or whatever emerge, the authority, the powers, the draconian policies, the martial law type regime could still take over and do it again. There's been no pushback. Boy, that's and so are you guys still facing more prison time?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're under appeal.
So, okay. So now that this has all been lifted, however, they can still go back and punish you for what you did during the time these were in place, right?
Mm-hmm. Retrospectively, which is what they're doing with us right now. So
on that note, to interrupt there, Billy. The prosecutor for our trial urged the judge to ignore everything we'd learned about the outbreak in the last 2 years, the ineffectiveness of lockdowns, the ineffectiveness of masks, and the ineffectiveness of the vaccines. The judge was encouraged to ignore everything that he knew about that and just pretend like this was that day when we didn't know any of those things and punish us accordingly, and he was all too happy to do that.
The appeal judge, to be fair though, the appeal judge, we were found guilty and sentenced in the lower court here, in the lowest court that we have in New Zealand, and we've gone to a higher court to appeal the charges and the sentence. And I do believe that the appeal judge was genuinely horrified. I'm an ex-member of the police, New Zealand Police and Army. I was a very, very high-profile politician in the last election. We're going into another election this time and next week.
In point of fact, the election will be 4 days after we're sentenced. The verdict is found out.
Great.
Yeah, the judge was I believe the judge was horrified. I don't have any criminal convictions or history, of course. And over here, Penny and David, we have people getting sentenced to home detention that have committed manslaughter. Gangbusters and gangsters and all that. We have pedophiles. We have people caught with child pornography, thousands of images, egregious images, sentenced to, you know, 6 months home detention. And this was a very well organized, small protest, but an effective one. But we were arrested at it, and as Vinny said, you know, we now know what we know today, which is what we already knew back then, but officially it's all out. And but it doesn't matter, because this is a lockstep operation, military operation, DARPA operation, you know, UN operation, World Economic Forum operation that we're living through, and the plan just has to roll out regardless of the environmental conditions of a country like ours. So It's not a good time here in New Zealand. I wouldn't want to come here anytime soon, really.
Billy, on a more positive note, can you tell us a little bit about your life and some of the things that you do?
Yeah, I'm a former international guitar player, blues guitar player. I've toured the world playing music. I lived in Mississippi when I was 20 years of age.
Mississippi in the United States?
Yes, Greenville, Mississippi, Texas. I was listening to the sheriff just now, and I was based in Texas in Austin when I was 20.
Really?
Yes, and that's like from New Zealand to somewhere like that when you're a kid. It's kind of like going to Neptune for a working holiday. But I've also been an international businessman as well, involved in indigenous trade and business. I'm a pastor and I'm a documentary filmmaker now. I never thought I would be, but I've just produced an incredible a documentary about the New Zealand government's COVID-19 Health Response Act, or what we call the COVID Response Strategy in New Zealand. And boy, I tell you what, so I've been speaking with and working with people like Dr. Mike Yeadon, former Pfizer VP, Bob Malone, Dr. Rima Labo, so many Americans are involved in this project, as well as other commentators from around the world. And it is, you know, life is really what you make of it, of course, but I'm a deep investigator as well. I'm trained in military intelligence sort of assessment, and so my work at this stage is to put this inquiry together and expose the story of New Zealand to the world. It's absolutely incredible, Penny. I'd love to have you on. It's a three episode documentary, and episode one is just being released right now, and it's about really putting this documentary together so that eventually we can hold those corporates accountable for the great harm that they've caused New Zealanders.
We definitely would like to bring you back. We just had Dave Summerall on, who is stophate.com, and he was at January 6th, and he was privy to a lot of footage. Tucker Carlson had him on the show, and he just came out with a new documentary, so we played his 5-minute trailer, but we would love to have you both back again. So this is not a one-time thing. Vinny and I have been trying to just put this thing together like forever, because I text him and then he gets back. That's where you guys are, you know. Are you in a different day? Today is Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday?
No. It's Thursday. So what you do is you text me yesterday, and what you need is a response today.
Oh my God! Yeah.
So in other words, we're asking you to get back with us last Thursday.
Yeah.
Where can people see part one of the documentary?
Yeah, great. What I'm doing right now, I'm just putting one of our trailers in right now for you in the chat. Basically, what we've done is we've had to be very, very careful how we release this at the moment. So we've got people from all around the world that want to see it. We've got film companies that want it. We've got a company in Hollywood that want to distribute it, which is cool. and so, long story cut short, at the moment we're doing a national speaking tour. I'm speaking on this on a circuit, and we're playing the documentary. It's a 2-hour long episode that we've produced for episode one, and that's about taking the claims of the New Zealand government about COVID, infection fatality rate, mask wearing, what else have we got, PCR test. Yep, there you go.
Can I lay a couple of minutes of this?
Please do. At the very front, Dave, of the national anthem of New Zealand, and I'm playing the guitar on that. So yeah, please do.
Okay. Thank you.
Kia ora and greetings. My name is Billy Takahika, and I'm a civil and human rights activist here in New Zealand. And I've been fighting for truth and freedom for over 3.5 years. I'm a pastor and former member of the New Zealand Army and Police, and have been a community contributor for many years. I'm also a former international blues guitarist. Across 3 documentary episodes, you will travel with me across New Zealand to hear the stories of those Kiwis affected by the New Zealand government's COVID-19 response.
Professor Neil Ferguson and the Imperial College in London provided the WHO and world governments the data modelings that told the whole world that COVID-19 was the deadliest disease since the Spanish flu. Ferguson told the UK government that they could expect 100,000 cases per day and up to 500,000 deaths from COVID. He also told the US government they could expect up to 2.2 million deaths over the next few months to a year. This was terrifying news. A suggested IFR of between 3 and 6%. And then came Professor Sean Hendy of Auckland University, who seemed to have picked up a similar data modelling approach to figuring out potential COVID deaths in New Zealand. And then the government really ramped up things with their COVID messaging campaign. They started the daily COVID-19 briefings.
Welcome to the COVID-19 media update today. Welcome to today's media update. Today we have 18 new cases of COVID-19.
If community transmission takes off in New Zealand, the number of cases will double every 5 days. If that happens unchecked, our health system will be inundated and tens of thousands of New Zealanders will die.
We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full 2-week period of sustained propaganda.
Okay, so let's see what other experts have to say about the infection fatality rate and risk of COVID-19.
COVID-19 is a nasty flu-like virus. It's new, but it's not unique. The Ioannidis study shows the death rate is only very marginally worse than the standard flu viruses that kill hundreds of sick and elderly New Zealanders every year.
So are these modelling projections were totally exaggerated? There wasn't the raw data that they were based on. It just wasn't out at the time, and they were wild predictions, and they were proved to be so.
That it was a hoax all along. Oops, we got the models wrong. Some of these models came out of Imperial College London. They did their modelling. The academics and the academic scientists did their modelling. Look, for the lockdowns, you only have to look at the Great Barrington Declaration, which came out very early, containing dissenting scientific views about the necessity of lockdowns. So there was opposition from the very get-go, but that was censored and demonized. These models were deeply problematic from the very beginning, and there were many experts who were censored when they tried to explain why and how.
Here is the Ioannidis report that remarkably the WHO published, and it clearly shows that what the Imperial College, WHO, and most of the world governments were telling the public about COVID was simply untrue. Did Professor Ioannidis unwittingly sink a narrative and agenda of untruth and expose a river of lies? So despite the warnings of Professor John Ioannidis, Professor Simon Thornley, and countless other scientists, doctors, and epidemiologists, the WHO, medical organisations, and the New Zealand government accepted the failed modelling of the Imperial College London, and seemingly, without due diligence, took the projections of Professor Neil Ferguson at face value, leading to possibly the greatest disaster since World War II. Governments and the WHO should have known that Neil Ferguson was infamous for blowing out, exaggerated, and horribly wrong predictions and modelling. So we have learned something valuable. The government cannot be trusted to give us accurate information. But what next? Next came the issue of face masks.
Face masks.
Wow, incredible. That is, I highly, and that, now I'm surprised YouTube has not taken down that trailer, you know, because the way they've been.
Right. I just want to make a statement and tell you guys
seriously how much I love you, and for all the stuff that you're doing. I just get choked up thinking about it. Really, really appreciate it. When I was researching New Zealand, what I came about was not the Sleepy Little Island. I came across Anne Hamilton Byrne, who ran an MK Ultra project, and I always said, Julian Assange looks like one of those kids, and then found out that Julian Assange's mother married somebody from the Anne Hamilton Byrne family.
Wow.
Because I'm a researcher too, but I would just want to thank you both for standing up for freedom and for justice and for righteousness and for your tenacious abilities and for utilizing all of your God-given talents for the exposure of injustice and for being truth tellers. I just want to thank you both.
Thank you, Penny. I remember the day that we went to the protest the night before, Billy asked me, do you think we're going to get arrested, Vinny? I went, yep. And he's like, well, why are we doing this then? And I said, and I said to him, because there's an old saying, Billy, how do you expose a fascist? By making them act like it. And they did not disappoint.
No, obviously not.
Yeah, they were pretty brutal.
How can people help you?
Yes.
Can they contribute? Do you have a fundraiser or...
Yes. Billy's website, riveroflies.co.nz. Are you taking donations off of that one, bro?
Yeah, we are. People need to. There is a donation button on there, and it would be really awesome to connect with our fellow truth seekers and freedom fighters in the US. I've got an international profile with a lot of different networks, so it's just a great honor to meet yourself, David and Penny. If people can want to reach out to me, they can do that through the riveroflies.co.nz website here. You notice I've spent time in the United States because we say Z here, and I say Z when I'm on American.
Right.
So you can tell I've done.
I'm actually in Texas now, originally I spent 58 years in Hollywood as a singer and entertainer.
What were you, 2 months old?
Oh, I love you even more now. Yes. I just turned 65.
Yes.
Oh, wow. You don't look at it.
It's lighting. It's lighting, Billy.
I look on my
camera, by the way.
Yeah, you still look like Shirley Temple in her prime. Now, right. For myself as well, I've got a new baby boy, little Alfie. If you go to my YouTube channel, if you search up the Vinnie Eastwood YouTube channel and go to the shorts reels, you can see me making him laugh, which is a great video if you guys could get that up there. And my website is thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, not vinnieeastwood.com, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And on there are donation buttons for PayPal and Patreon and KiwiBank. Now, additionally, I'm asking people to make regular contributions because I've been truth-seeking and broadcasting and helping people's voices be heard on international radio since 2008. And this is not a choice, okay? This is an obligation. And the countless people who have never been on radio that have been on my show, the countless people who have started radio shows after coming on mine or starting their own channels, that kind of thing. The whole idea is that somebody has to lie down on the barbed wire in order for people to walk across them in freedom. Somebody has to blaze the trail so that other people can walk free. Somebody has to stand on the shoulders of giants and tell people what can be seen from up here. And I'm reminded of the Stanford Prison Experiments. The Milgram Experiments, rather, where they had people forcibly with somebody in a white lab coat from Harvard telling you to electrocute somebody on the other side of this glass. They couldn't see the person, it's just an actor, but they found that 90% of people, if an authority figure told them to do something, would kill another human being just because that person, it was an authority figure who told you to do that. That's the most famous part of the study. The other part of the study that's not quite so famous is they showed the 10% of people who did resist to the next people coming in to the study, and they found that when you show somebody successfully resisting authority and saying no, nearly 100% of people got given the courage to say no as well. Regardless of what consequences you face for standing up to authority, there is a greater consequence that authority must suffer, and that is the inspiration that you put out. It is like a water spring. What happens when you try to suppress a water spring? It starts burrowing sideways through rock, through sand, and through mud, and bursting through to the surface from places you cannot understand or comprehend. That is what the human spirit is like, and that's why Billy and I do this.
Well, we admire you both, and we are honored that you came on the program today. We hope you'll come back again real soon. In the meantime, you've got your website listed there, both of you. Please contribute to their, I'm sure you get legal bills are not going to be cheap for, you know, defending.
No, how much have these guys spent so far?
So I didn't qualify for legal aid. We have a public funding situation here in New Zealand. I didn't qualify for that. But mine is around about 110,000 New Zealand dollars, which is about 80,000 USD at the moment. And unlike Vinny, I've actually had two cases brought against me in New Zealand. I've just been found innocent of the government accusing me of electoral fraud and dishonesty and deception charges, which I was in court two and a half weeks ago. I spent a week in court. Every day for 8 hours a day, I was in a court prison cell. And at the end of it, I was found innocent of those.
Hallelujah.
Charges. Amen. It was, you know, my family and I have been through the mill with it. But as Vinny said, you know, we really have no choice. Conscience compels people of good conscience and good faith to stand up. So it's been very, very costly. I don't have a regular job. I call myself self-unemployed. So I'm sure you know about that.
I like that.
I'm sure you both know about that.
Well, thank you both for being with us, and let's do it again real soon. Thank you for taking the time to get up early in the morning to come on the show. We appreciate it.
Really appreciate it. I'd like to know the outcome of this next trial as well, so please keep us apprised. If you just text me on WhatsApp, or if that's more convenient, or on Messenger, and, you know, give Billy my number.
Will do.
We'll try and get you some. I'd like to hook you up with Dr. Artis as well.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
I'm a big doctor.
And one last bit of help, you know, from the audience and yourselves, if there is anybody else, any other radio broadcasters, YouTubers, podcasters, things of that nature of the alternative media who might be willing to give us some coverage for this plight before the trial, and indeed the recap after the trial, please go and contact them and recommend us and give them our contact details for us, because we're trying as best we can just to keep our heads above water at the moment, and self-promotion is very, very difficult, so we do need some help from our colleagues internationally to deal with that.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you both.
All right. Vinny Eastwood and Billy TK here on the Awake Nation, and we will definitely have them back there, the good people. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Dr. Lana Cantos with Wellness Wednesday in her new time slot, which was very confusing for her, by the way, because
that was my fault.
Because we screwed up. So we say we're sorry. We'll be right back right after this.